Okay, so yes, but no. We're going to go back to Reish Bem Tess. A bunch of things at the end of Reish Bem Tess that we went quickly through last time, and I wanted to sort of make sure we got them. So number one is this Rashba. So actually, last week so we're in the Shulchan Aruch itself. We'll start there, okay. And then maybe go to the Beis Yosef. But in the Reish Bem Tess, again, the reason is because it's not quoted in the Beis Yosef, and it's not quoted in the Darkei Moshe, as far as I can tell in this Sif. I'm not sure where it is, but the Ramah quotes this famous Shuvas HaRashba. So the truth is, it's printed wrong in mine. In mine, it says Shuvas HaRashba Simon Tafko at the end of
Shulchan Aruch.
In Shulchan Aruch, Reish Bem Tess, Sif Yud Gimel, at the end of the Ramah, in the classic Shulchan Aruch, it says Shuvas HaRashba, at the end of it, it quotes it as Shuvas HaRashba Simon Tafko Pei. Bees?
Okay.
Ah, yeah, it's payalf. Okay,
payalf,
that is correct. Yes. So it happens to be a pretty short tshuva where the question is. It sounds like people are a little annoyed about this guy that the shul is next to this guy's house. And they want to get the guy's house and finally convince the guy to sell them the house on condition that his become known. The shul becomes known as Bees Goldberg or whatever the name was at the time. So he asked the Rashba if that's okay. Is that appropriate, or he shouldn't have his name? He shouldn't have his name associated with the sucker that
he's just selling it to him. He's not giving it to him. Are there his
answers? No, there's an arrangement. I couldn't tell exactly what was going on. Mm-hmm. Some kind of arrangement. He's giving it over, and he wants it to be named after himself. So the Rashba says that not that. He said that there's a minug that people do that. In fact, the shul that I daven in is named after somebody who gave a lot of money in order to ensure that the shul goes on, and then he goes on and says, and truth is, we have plenty of times in Tanakh where we explicitly mention the good things people do, and the Medrash seems to laud them for doing that. There's this famous Medrash in Rus where it talks about that Reuven says, "Had I known that what I did for Yosef would have been recorded, I would have been much more flamboyant in my saving him." And Aaron says, "Had I been remembered for the fact that I went out and greeted Moshe when he came back, I would have gone out with the bands and the cheerleaders, and everybody would have gone out to greet Moshe, would have held him up on my shoulders or something." And Boaz says, also, had I known that I would have been remembered for good for the fact that I helped out Rus, so I would have helped her out much more significantly. So the implication of that medrash is that it's okay to do things knowing that you'll be remembered for them and to be remembered for them. So that's what the Rashba puts down. So the Rashba at the end says, and there's only half of it is quoted here, where he says, the second half of the Ramah in Yud Gimel, she mutter. It's permissible to have his name, to write his name on it. In order for so that he should be remembered, and then the Ramah says, if a royal lassos came, I think the Rashi himself says that. Veroy lassos came, and that is a good thing to do. So the Rashi truth is gave two reasons as to why that should be okay. He says. Then one is that he'll be remembered for good, and I guess we'll gain inspiration from knowing, remember this guy and how big a tzaddik he was. And the second thing is, then he'll guilt other people into giving. People say, Goldberg gave that much, so we can certainly give even more. There is, Ari Leibowitz has a shir online about a guy who was a very wealthy person, but he wanted all his giving to be anonymous. So all these people are. So I think the question was, someone was at I think the rabbi knew that this guy was giving a lot of money, but he wasn't going to tell anybody, and he was at a meeting where all these people were bad-mouthing this guy. He's like, I can't believe Goldberg, he has so much money, and he's not giving anything to anybody, and his name's not anywhere or anything, etc. So what's appropriate? So it's sort of, if you want to keep it anonymous, someone could still perhaps give a lower amount. I mean, if you want to say amount, you give the regular amount and be recognized for a smaller amount, just to avoid a lashon hara being said about you. That was one of the, that was part of the discussion of that year. But so those are the two reasons that are given by the Rashba. If you look at the Taz says, Taz and Sif Dalid, says Vroy Lasos Kane. He says Venir Hatam. The reason should be the Nafkum and Yizeh Shaz Lo Yochlu Hatzibur L'Shanos Osudaver, because then people aren't going to be able to change it anymore. L'Midi Achrini to something else. I mean, if the person, if they celebrate the Melon Eunice Miller sanctuary, so you can't just decide, you know what, we'll start using it for something else and build a different sanctuary. I mean, you can't. You're not going to be able to change the reason as easily, and that or change whatever it is as easily. And the Taz says that that's okay, as the Ramah writes in Siman Reish and Tess Sif Yud Gimel. That's a discussion not necessarily about this, but about changing stock. I mean, if you one sets aside money for X, and then there's a need to do Y, so can one change it or not? So that's what he's referring to here. I mean, as the Ramah talks about changing things from one to another, if you give your money for a specific thing and your name is attached to it, you're not going to be able to change it.
You can change it into a different item.
To change it different.
For base measures, make it
different. Right, something like that. Correct. Right, something along those lines. So in the Nekudas HaKesef was written by the Shach, same thing. The Shach is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. The Nekudas HaKesef is arguments against the Taz. They were quasi-contemporaries. The Shach was younger, but they were somewhat contemporaries. So the Nekudas HaKesef here says, L'chinam bada tam milibo. He says, the Taz is just offering his own reason here. Right? V'ishtamite tshuvas harashba. He's leaving out the tshuvas harashba, makor dinza, who is the makor for this. Shambafurish tamach. Was there, he gives a different reason. Meaning the Ramah is quoting his halacha from the Rashba. The Rashba gives the reason that it's permissible. And the Taz is going around giving another reason why it is. There's nafkamin ladina being a time. And not only that, there's nafkaminas between them. You can, I don't know, come up with what a nafkamina would be, depending on what the reason would be. Venir shalo yada klal makor din zeh shumi rashba. It could very well be that the Taz didn't know that the source of this was the Rashba. Right? It's not so easy to know all 10,000 shuvas of Rashba. That's not an exaggeration. That's probably what we're talking about.
Didn't he have the Ramah?
What? He says shebesifro turi zahav lo nirsham mara makom al dinzeh. Right? He doesn't refer to the spot of this. Right? He doesn't quote it from the Rashba. The gam b'shulchan aruch shenitfesu kvar lo nirsham al kain. And the shulchan aruch that was previously printed, it might not say what the source is. Now, again, they lived at approximately the same time, not necessarily in the same place, but like it's a little. I don't have to be talking that way, but the truth is those sources, those marks that are probably not from the Ramah. The Ramah probably did not write what his sources were. Those were probably added in by somebody else. And it is when one goes through the Ramah, it's unclear. We've had this actually in our learning a few times. And it's unclear what exactly the Ramah wrote. There are things that could have been added in by somebody else along the way, and it was printed in Rashi script, and then everybody just assumed it was the Ramah, which isn't necessarily always the case. So he says it could be there now. Makom al din zeh. V'gam b'shulchan aruch shenitfesu al kain kasav tamach. They gave another reason. Milibo sh'az l'yochol atzibur l'shanos. Therefore, he gave his own reason. V'lefi zeh hicha she'atzibur rotzim l'chayev atzmam shelo yeshnu lo yichtov shmo alav. So therefore, where the tzibur wants to obligate themselves, shelo yishim, not to change something, lo yichtov shmo.
If they don't want to obligate themselves to change it, they should not write his name on it.
The words are that the tzibur wants to obligate themselves not to change something. Don't put the name on it.
Right.
It seems backwards.
It's back. The wording is backwards, but okay.
It's backwards, but
that's what he means. Okay, fine. So Bahal says the Rashba, and he said, but it's not true because the Rashba gives his own reason. And it's the midas Torah to spread and publicize people that do mitzvah. So maybe Sham Kama Raya says he brings many proofs for this. Must have been kind of talmud shayu noagim lichluf kinshemos hamakdishim l'shamayim liyos lahem l'zikaron tov al mitzvah. liftoach delas leusei mitzvah. And therefore, the minhag was to write down the people that are makadesh shemayim. I assume it's talking about just in general people that are makadesh shemayim, so that people will remember, they'll remember for good, and it will open the door for other people to do it as well. Also, the Rashba says tefilah hikdash kfar mutar sheyichdash shemayim. Also, the Rashba says that if even if they had already given the gift, it's permissible to write it there, and the tzibur can't keep him from doing so. If he gave it and he didn't say anything, and then decide, you know what, I would like my name on it, so the tzibur would not cannot hold them back from doing so. They could reject the gift. They could say, well, if that's the case, we don't want it. But if they have it already, they're going to keep it, so they're going to name. They should accept their name on it. Now, the Piskei Tshuva here has an interesting topic here, where he says, "I in the Tshuva's Emunas Shmuel is Gimel." Shenishal Ruven Shai Gabay Tzaka. What about the Gabay Tzaka? Does he get to be recognized? V'schar Polim L'sayid L'chayid Beis HaKnesses. Right, but Moz Tzedaka, that he is the one who went and raised all the money for the shul. V'chasav Uman V'zos Naseb B'kudas Ruven Ben Yaakov. This was done with the work of Ruven Ben Yaakov, Gabay Tzaka. V'lachar Kamashanim Amdu Akal V'eru Alzeh. And after, so they, it sounds like they put it on the wall of the shul. We think, his name is here. We thank Ruven Ben Yaakov. That's probably not his name, but we thank him for all the work he did in order to collect the money for the shul. And a couple of years later, the shul got upset about it. Something happened a couple of years later. This is not just, you know what, someone like all of a sudden realized maybe that wasn't the best idea. Something happened a couple of years later. They were upset with Reuven. Reuven Heshiv, Hagam Shegaviti B'mos Mikal Mi'achash Tarachti B'shul B'seknes K'din Yichtov Shemiel. He said, I mean, I worked really hard for it, and I raised all this money, and my name should be written on it. V'od Mi'achash Shalom Michu Adhena Havi Chazaka. Not only that, he didn't complain until now, so I have a Chazaka. So V'heshiv Dahadin Im Hakal. The answer was, that the kal is right. The dafka hecha she'asa ba'asmu v'gufo o b'mamono shelo yishlo schus lichtov shmo alav v'lo b'chai gabne shelo asa ba'asmu raks kar polim l'maus. Only if he actually gave the money, not if he just worked for it. But gam ma'ashe toin v'yishlo chazaka eno kon. The fact that he has a chazaka also is meaningless, and they actually have the right to erase it. And I in the tshuva, see the tshuva of the Tzemach Tzedek, what he writes about this, he makes reference in here to what that tshuva was. Quickly find it. It's a Lubavitcher, one of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the third, I think, third or fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe. I thought I saw. What he wrote, but okay. Fine. Now there is a the Gilyon Maharsha. Oh, actually, yeah, it's in the Gilyon Maharsha, I believe. The Gilyon Maharsha also quotes this idea. The Gilyon Maharsha is sort of Shlomo Eger, Hugh Eger's son. So there he writes about Gabai Shalom Asa Mimamono, Im Kosov Shrosh Nasim, and Sosa Yechon Limchok, and he quotes the Munus Yisrael. He also quotes, I believe, the Tzemach Tzedek. Maybe not. I'm not sure. I thought I saw someplace what the Tzemach Tzedek said. Now this, it's interesting because the Miles pointed out to me, he's got to use, I was talking to him about the property tax increases that we've had here over the last, since we've moved here. It's like tripled since the time that I've moved here. So he pointed out, because the school district has changed, and they've the school district has a couple of reasons for that. But he said, but you know what the big issue is? He said, if you go into one of the schools here, they have a plaque dedicated to the commissioners at the time who made sure that the money was raised for this extension to the building. He said why they should get a yashar koach for spending someone else's money. Right, it's a good aura. So that's the taina here. In fact, that's the taina that the what's his name, the that the Emunah Shmuel is making, right? Just because you got someone else to give money doesn't mean that you necessarily get a plaque. I thought I saw also that if he really puts in a lot of work, so then he gets credit, not because he got other people to give money, but because he put in a lot of work. I mean, that itself gives you a certain amount of currency. Okay, so that is the issue of the namings.
So the bottom line is, you can.
Ramah as you can, and in fact, the Ramah concludes by saying, V'roi la'soskin. It's fitting to do so.
Rashba was the time of the Ramban, right?
The Rashba was the time of the Ramban, yes.
It goes back a long ways.
Yeah, no, this Rashba is quote. So I'm not sure if. It's unclear to me why the Beis Yosef doesn't quote it. Not sure.
It's really long.
I recall that it was someplace else in Hilchos Sukkah that it is that's quoted as well, but I couldn't. I'm not sure where. I couldn't find it.
It shows that this custom of naming things goes back.
Yeah, and not only that, it was in Sfarad. I mean, the Rashba was answering, and he I'm not sure where the question came from, but he said my shul did it. So in Barcelona, apparently, there were the shuls that were named for people. Yeah.
So there's a community. I won't, because we're on tape. A community school here in Philadelphia that was named, had a name that was, you know, a biblical name, and someone would have given a lot of money for them to change, and they didn't change the name, and they didn't want to change
it. Okay.
And that was like years ago, but then more recently they did change the name.
They needed the money.
I'm not sure.
Either there was more money or they needed the money. I mean, naming rights is a real thing, and there's Dini Torah about naming rights, and I mean, in YU, the campus has been named, I think it's a 20-year lease on the name. I mean, you get named, and 20 years later, the campus could be named something else. It's okay. Both feel good, and it's appropriate. And the idea of anonymous giving, there's a difference between, this is following, remember last week we talked about the levels of giving. So this is really institutional giving. This is where you're giving to the institution, getting other people to give, as opposed to giving to the poor person. That's a major distinction. Oh, that's being made here. Well, I should still keep in mind the first half of that Rama. The first half of the Rama is that a person shouldn't be giving in order so that they get known for it. So one has to walk that line, but yet the Rashba is clearly a assumption that that we go by.
Most of all those institutions recently, the last 15, 20 years, have gotten names.
Sure.
The people gave money.
But the one, what a big one, he just named it something else, but you know.
All good.
It's not only the Jewish world, it's the secular world. Every stadium now has the name of the company on it.
Well, that's not for stock, that's for advertising.
But it's the same thing, it's in the name of.
Yeah. Yes, I looked into it, what it would cost to name Mizzou's and Moore Stadium, but. It was a little above my advertising budget. So if you take a look at back into the Beis Yosef, let's first take a look actually while you're in the Shulchan Aruch. See what says Shulchan Aruch. We'll go backwards. The Shulchan Aruch can skip Yudal says it's appropriate to give money before davening. Okay, but Tezvav it says Gabay Tzdach Kesheish Biyot the Most Tzdach Yasiu Behem Besulos Anios Sheein Tzdach Gedol Mizus. You should give it to the people who need it the most, the poor. Besulos, the poor unmarried girls, okay? We'll see maybe it's worse for that. And the Tazayin is, Yesh Misha Omer She Mitzvahs Beisach Nesses Adifa Me Mitzvahs Tzedakah. Some say that the Mitzvah Beisach Nesses is more important than Tzedakah. I mean, it's better to give to the shuls first before you give to the poor people. Mitzvah Tzedakah Linarim Lumo Torah O L'cholim Aniyim Adif Me Mitzvahs Beisach Nesses. But to give it to the children who are going to learn Torah or to for the poor that are sick, that's more than the Beisach Nesses, right? So the hierarchy seems to be regular poor people, then the shul, and then the highest is to give to stucca to these children learning Torah or those that are sick. Okay, so where
would the business about the giving stucca before davening? Isn't there a certain point in the davening that some people have a minhag to give stucca?
Right.
Before Yishtabach.
Right. So it's sort of based on this. I mean, there's a reference right there to stucca, but it is Yishtabach is sort of the beginning. But that's sort of the beginning of davening.
Before Ash Yashir, there's a certain pasuk.
Correct, right. It's based on the words that are said there. Yeah. But it's really before davening, this idea. In fact, before every davening, one should. Okay, so we go to the Beis Yosef now. So the Beis Yosef quotes this idea of the order from this, from the Maharik. So the Maharik in Tezayin says, Vishorosh Kuf Kuf Ches. So if you look in the Beis Yosef, it's not on the tour.
Yeah,
in the Beis Yosef, Reish Mem Tes, Sif Tezayin, it's the very end of Reish Mem Tes. It's the last paragraph there. So he says, Vishorosh Kuf Kuf Ches, this is quoting from the Maharik, Kasav Shemitoch Mash Kasav Tashbis, Vishema Rev Shmuel, Vitoch Yerushalmi, Tezroit. So I don't have a Yerushalmi Zerayim at home, but this Gemara is a similar Gemara is also found in Masech Hashkalim, which I do. Masech Hashkalim for some reason makes it into the Daf Yomi cycle. So I've not yet, and maybe I could ask a few people again. I've not yet been able to find out who paskin the shilas for the Daf Yomi cycle. Right? Who decided that Shkalim is in? Who decided that that Kinim is in, but Mishnah, other Mishnah, yes. But Avos is out.
You don't think it was Rav Shapiro himself?
It might have been. Then that's an answer.
I don't know.
Who decided not to have Daf Yomi scheduled for Tisha B'Av? May I hear the Yesod?
Well, it is scheduled.
It is. Right, it is. Who paskin that? Who decided, you should definitely,
To have it is the question.
To have it. Someone had to make that decision.
Yeah, yeah.
So who made that decision? So good Rav Meir Shapiro. I'm not doubting that. Rav Meir Shapiro, I believe, was at the first Siyum HaShas. So it could be that he made whatever decisions were appropriate. It was his idea. All right, anyways. So B'Shem Rav Shul Mitoch Yerushalmi Yisrael Yishlu Chich the Mitzvah Space HaKnesses Adif Mitzvah Sakin. It figures out from this Yerushalmi that the build mitzvah of the Shul is more than the mitzvah of Tzedakah. Why is that? The Garsin and Shem Achse L'Rav Tira Dvei Kenishta. Because they showed to Rav, I forget, or it might be changed to somebody else, I think the names might be different in the different Gemaras, but it showed to Rav Tirat Vekinisha. Look at the shul, the Chiles Taman Barnash Lemelef Oraisa Ochulam Hamutalim Baashba, and the other Amora. There were two Amoraim walking, and they pointed to this old shul, and the other one said to the other, "Wouldn't it have been better had they spent money on learning Torah or the sick than this?" Then building it for this, but Kara Alav, and they quote this pasuk by Yishkach Yisrael Oseu VaYiven Echalos. That is quoted pasuk from Hosea that the Jews forgot what they were supposed to do and they built Hechalos. Now that's the Pshat in the pasuk is referring to Avodah Zarah. It's referring to temples, not referring to the shuls. But okay, that pasuk is quoted in the Yerushalmi there. Wow. So Mikan Omer Harav Shmuel Shatov Litin Stuck Lenar and Lomo Torah. So therefore, that's why they said that it's best to give the money to children learning Torah Olachol Manim Militin Levei Sakneses rather than give it to the shul. Ad Kan Lashon Umidagar BiYerushalmi Chol Mahamutalim Ba'ash. Meaning sick poor people, not just poor people. So he says you can learn out two things. He said on one hand you can learn out that giving to poor, sick people and to children learning is more important than giving it to the shuls. On the other hand, you can also learn that giving it to regular poor people is not as important as giving it to the shuls. And that's the claim that the Maharik made. Okay? Now the Dark Moshe here, which could, I'm not sure we're going to have time to get to it, but this would be our excuse to go back and talk about Meiser Ksafim again, that he quotes in Ma'aril Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, V'osim and the Adam Hanostim Meiser Shalhem Neiros Beis HaKnesses, people that use their Meiser in order to give it to shuls, I mean, they take their Meiser money and give it to for candles and shuls, which was like a big expense, right? V'nosnim, as we say in Yukim Porkon, Vinosnim near Lamuor, right? So Shaloka din Himosin. The Meister Shaykh Lahanos Boanim, right? That Meister should only be for Anim, Bachin Mashman, that's what we learn out also in the second parak of Beitza. So whether that's true or not, whether Meister Ksafim should only be used for poor people or not, so that's the main Yisod of Meister Ksafim. Not sure we're going to have time to get back to that. So that is the Maharik upon which this Ramah is based. However,
so what's the conclusion at this point that...
So the Maharik says, and it's quoted by the Rama, or quoted by the Shulchan Aruch himself, that the hierarchy would be that the highest is to give to poor sick people / young Tamidi Chachamim, or children learning, then shuls, and then the bottom is the rest of the poor people. That's what it sounds like. So if you go back into the Shulchan Aruch, back on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, so the Gra disagrees. The Gra in Chaf, Right, but he says here, right, in the beginning, well, in Tes Zayin is the Siman in Sif in Shulchan Aruch. So there's a Chaf there in the beginning of that Sif, where it sends you to this Gra. It's a lengthy Gra, but the Gra is really quoting that Yerushalmi that we just quoted from. And at the end there, he says, as I say, even Echalos, Milo Havi base something, the Yelon Baraisa.
So we're in the Beer Gra?
At the end of the Beer Hagra Chaf. So I don't know how you have it set up. Yeah, so it's a lengthy one where he's quoting that Yerushalmi, and at the end he says, "V'girsas tashbeitz ocholim hamutam la'ashba." V'diktik ma'arik shma'mina shel shart tzedaka beisaknesas adif. That when it comes to other tzedakos, shuls come first. Ve'ino mukrach, but he thinks it's not true. The Gra says, I don't read the Gemara that way. He was just using that as an example. He was saying, you know, wouldn't it have been good to give to some poor sick people? Right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't being Meduyak. He could have just easily said, wouldn't it have been better to give to poor people? But to emphasize, he said, you know, there's a bunch of poor people that are sick, could have used the money, right? But it doesn't mean that we can't necessarily be Meduyak and say, but if it was just a regular poor person, of course you should have spent money. Of course the shul comes first. The Gra doesn't think so. The Kosha came the Girsa Shalana. I'm not sure what he was referring to by that. V'ayin Tosus, but see Tosus Babasra Tesamarafti Raskol Shenemar, where that Tosos seems to imply like the Gruz version, where it's a one-line Tosos. I forgot to bring them at the Babasra. You can take my word for it that Tosos seems to be reading it according to the Gruz, that Slav Dafka, poor people that are sick, but rather all poor people would get precedence over the shul. So that itself is, you can leave that out as a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra. The fact is that you need both. The fact is that if there's not going to be a shul, you're not going to be able to collect much more. A shul can be seen as an investment to raise more money for tzedakah also. Right? And without a shul, it's going to be much less money raised for aniyim. So,
what do we see though that the shul takes precedence over aniyim? I mean, they say it, but
so this Ma'arik is basing on this Gemara, because the fact that he complained about these shuls that were built when the money could have gone to poor,
right,
sick people.
How do we know that a regular poor person doesn't?
Well, that's the Ma'arik said, he was being Meduyak. That's what the Ma'arik claimed. The Ma'arik claimed otherwise he would have said it should have gone to poor people. The fact that the Gemara said specifically it should have gone to poor sick people implies that it wouldn't have gone to poor people. But you're taking the Gruz side. The Gruz like, he didn't mean that. Right? What do you mean that? He just used that as an example. But it doesn't necessarily mean that one would really take precedence over the other. Now there is this detail out there, there's this thing out there, we talked about it a little bit in the past, and that is this idea that somehow mikvah takes precedence over shul. It's like this word on the street. Where does that come from? That a mikvah takes precedence over a shul. So here he just quotes very quickly. The chasav of Chafetz Chaim, shemiachas she'asur lader b'ir she'in ba mikvah, he kodemus havinya beisek nesas. That because it's prohibited to live in a city that doesn't have a mikvah, that comes first before the building of a shul. And it quotes from the Beis Yisrael. So actually, the Beis Yisrael is available on HebrewBooks.org. It's, the whole thing is 22 pages long. It's like a kuntres that the Chafetz Chaim wrote to people moving to America. It's like, you know, just read these couple of things and to be mechazek you. So, and he doesn't quote any sources there. He just says this halacha. So there is... he says, not only that, but there seems to perhaps be a source against it. So we could go ahead a little bit to Siman Reish Nuntes in the Shulchan Aruch.
Initially, you said,
I don't know where he got that from. I don't know. That's the language of the Chafetz Chaim. And because it's prohibited to live in a city without a mikvah, obviously it's more important to build a mikvah before you build a shul. So I'm not sure where that comes from. And in fact, there seems to be perhaps a statement from the Chassam Sofer against it. It was in Siman Rishon and Tes, in Pischi Tshuva Tes. Right, this has to do with... also, the changing of one changes the direction of where it's coming from. So the Chassam Sofer has the following tshuva. The Sain Ber Heitiv, Ayin B'shuvas Chassam Sofer, Siman Reish Mem Dalid, Nidon Echad Shechala U'maser Kol Sfarav L'Ish Mehem. Some guy got sick. Reish Test. So he quotes from Chassam Sofer. This guy, in this case, a person who got sick, and he said, I can't learn it. Maybe he got blind. He couldn't read Svarim. So he gave all Svarim to another guy, to Elish Mehaman, that he should bring them to Shul. And there, everybody should come and learn it. learn from them. I get these calls, I don't know, every 2-3 months, I get a call from someone. My father died, and he. Someone called me last week. I have these svarim from Beth Tfila. A lot of them published in the '20s. Do you want them? I was like, no. Sorry, I don't. You can put them in Seamus. The Seamus truck comes along every couple of months. I'll send you an email back when they come. But it's such a shame. Okay. The world has changed. But back in those days, it really would be a shame. And the idea if someone had a large library to give it to a base medrash, that would be appropriate, right? And these yeshivas in Europe where they had like maybe one shas for the whole yeshiva, right? So it would be a good idea to do this. So Visham Yamdul Chor wrote to Lomun Mitocham. And he said, Aki Vedavar Shnaim.
What line are we on?
Second line. Visham Yamdul Lachol Harot to Lomun Mitocham. And he said, Aki Vedavar Shonim Harbeb. Now he held on to them. It sounds like he kept them in his house for a couple of years. Right, and he didn't fulfill the order of this guy who apparently has died now. Why? He had a good reason. So you put it in shul, so everything gets lost once it gets put in shul. This way he'll be able to keep tabs on it, keep it in his house. He wants to come, can come to his house and borrow this farm. He says, but now the tzibur wants to build the mikvah. Okay, verotzim limkor. What does this farmer have to do with that? They know this guy has a nice library, so he says verotzim limkor hasfarim im asher lishanos midas hametzuva. So, and he wants to sell. They want to sell his farim. Is it prohibited to do so because that's not fulfilling the tzava of the guy who donated them or a guy who willed them? So v'harich b'chol prati dinza, and the Chassam Sofer gets into this. The siyuma de piska Allah shafilu ledas hamakil. Even according to those that are makil, I guess permit people to change things from one to another. He says only if the shame is off of it. And also, shalom, that it's not going to be totally lost from a dvar mitzvah. Where I guess, like you would give it as neis in the shul. About im chaser echad me'elu, einam reshayim l'shanos l'davar mitzvah. But if it's going to miss one of those things, you can't change it for a lesser mitzvah. When we kol shekein l'davar reshus, certainly for davar reshus mamish. When we at the v'nino didan, in this case, ein l'cha mitzvah rabba me'lahamtzi svarim l'lom de Torah. There's no greater mitzvah than having svarim available for those learning Torah. Ve'ein kiyotzi bazeh b'kihila ahi, and there's nothing like this library in this community. V'afilu haya mafrish ba'usav Lekach asur l'shanos, and even if they would get, if they would separate money for it, I'm not sure what he means by that, but it would be asur to change it. Afal pi d'lo shayach nikra shmolav, even though his name is not going to be referenced to it. Mi kol shekin shehifrish svarim shenikra shmolav v'lo nishtakei shmo eivshar b'shum ofen, but here his name. But certainly they will be getting rid of the things with his name on it. If Shabbat Shuma opened the shnos, you're allowed to change it, lahachlif, and then he changes it, lahachlif be'er mayim chayim, be'er mikvah mayim. Right? You can't change it from a flowing spring of water, meaning the Torah, to a mikvah mayim, to suggest a mikvah that you can't do. So at least the Chassam Sofer word selling svarim for the purpose of a mikvah, that's not okay. Right, the truth is, perhaps even selling a shul for the person of mikvah, that's not okay. But here the question of the Chavetz Chaim is saying, which one should be built first, a shul or a mikvah? So what could be the source for that, that a mikvah would actually be built first? So there are two tshuvos of Rav Moshe along these lines. One of them is here. Choshen Mishpat Aleph Sif Mem Beis.
There are alternative possibilities in many places for a mikvah. I mean, like a river and this, I mean...
Okay, so he so well, let's see what his he says. V'hinei b'davar binyan mikvah shekod l'vinyan beis haknesses. It's v'adai pashut. It's obvious. Okay, feel that. It's obvious. Afim ein lachos chas v'shalom. Even if you're not concerned that it's going to cause problem, meaning that otherwise people wouldn't go to the mikvah, right? Because by doing this, there will be people won't be able to peruvu, and they won't be able to shavas. The gam lasos shalom bein ish liishta shebishvil kol echa mehem hum kodem. That for any of those three reasons, peruvu, shavas, we'll get to shev what he's referring to by shavas in a second. All of those would come before a shul. The gam shesar limkor af sefer Torah b'chol shekim beisak nesus bishvil zeh. Sefer Torah is considered higher kedusha than a shul, and you would even sell a sefer Torah for this. Why? How do we know that? That's the Beferish Gemara. What? What does it say there? Shemokrun Sefer Torah Lisa Isha. That you would sell a Sefer Torah to allow to facilitate a girl getting married. Mitam, based on this pasuk, Lo Tahu Vera Lasheves Yetzra. That's pasuk in Yeshaya. That the world wasn't created to be sit uninhabited. So that's the right. Va'afshik Farka. So why does he use that pasuk? Why did he just say, well, this is a mitzvah peruvu? But even if you already fulfilled peruvu, even if you already had a boy and a girl, because of Yishmuel, that Shemokrin Sefer Torah, that you would still sell a Sefer Torah for this, plus that there's still a mitzvah of Sheves, v'lokar de peruvu, not necessarily peruvu, and therefore you would do, but times it's peruvu v'sheves, hu yeshnu gam bebinyon mikva od biyoseh shehu l'chol anashim shavir. These reasonings, Puruvu and Sheves, applies also for building a mikvah, meaning not just what the Gemara said you could do it in order to permit a girl to get married. So Rav Moshe says, well, if you could do it to permit one girl to get married, you should certainly permit it to allow all these girls to be able to go to the mikvah and be able to have children, right? So therefore it's okay. Even if they could go someplace very far, still it's appropriate to have a mikvah in that city because there are women that aren't necessarily going to go. And beyond that, there's also Shabbos and there's Yontif, etc. And therefore it behooves one to build one here. However, there's another tshuva. So that's as important as building a mikvah. However, there is another tshuva. Yoredei Beis Kuftes Vav. This I remember quoting before, which was linked to Luz Raymond's father. Luz Raymond's father is the one who asks this shaila. He's mentioned here. Yedidi Harav Agon Marino Harav Pesach Raymond Harav de Brunswick. And his case was, is it better to build a school or to build a mikvah? And there he says, that mikvah Brunswick kubishvil leis shavas yotov ein lahach shivzel mikshul. He says that if the choice is a shul, well, you could go to cities nearby like Elizabeth. Right, she's smuchel of Brunswick, which is close to Brunswick. She's a mikvah sharon. There's a mikvah kosher there, and even though there's Shabbos and Yontif, yeah, still that's not going to hold up the building of the school. And ultimately, he leaves it into the hands of the rav. I mean, the rav has to decide based on what should be the way to go. So that is tshuva number two. So it is true that the Rav Moshe says a mikveh would come above a shul, but it sounds like it would not come above a shul. Assuming there is some other possibility that is out there, which fits in nicely here. We said that a children learning Torah comes before giving money to the shul. So it sounds like he's putting the shul and the mikveh 1A and 1B, but still the children would be able to get more. There's one more, and then maybe we'll call it. But there's one more. Came across a fascinating tshuva here in Kovetz Tshuvos. Who wrote Kovetz Tshuvos?
Wasserman.
What?
Wasserman.
No, it's Kovetz Shurim. Kovetz Tshuvos are tshuvos collected from Rav Eliashiv. I actually noticed today in the table of contents, it tells you where they came from. Rav Eliashiv never collected his tshuvos and published Kovetz Tshuvos. He published things various places over the years, and at some point somebody collected them and put them into Kovetz Tshuvos. So it happens to be this shaila is from his son-in-law, and in fact that's where it's found. It's found in the letters but I think it's in the stipe, the Queen of the Garta. I'm not sure if that. Chaim Kanievsky's farm. So that's where they dug it up from there. So his shaila was as follows. And I asked my father-in-law, and I'm not able to deal with this, therefore I asked my father-in-law. Now the truth is he's a nogei bedaver, as we'll see, so which is why might be why he didn't want to answer him, deal with it himself. But he named a vesak nesesh shlano in my shul, right, which is the Kol Chazanish, I assume, or I think it's called the Lighters. It's down the block from his house. It's a famous shul where the Chazanish daven. That's like where the stipler was. It's his place. You could go there today. In fact, if you go there Mincha on Shabbos, I'm sure if it's still. But when I was in yeshiva, Rav Chaim Knievsky would always daven Mincha at that shul at a specific time, and it would always get shlishi because in his cheshbon, that's the only way he could get to 100 brachos for the day. He cheshbon and all that. If he gets an extra aliyah, so at mincha, so he'll—that's how he'll get to 100 brachos. That's what they say. Anyways, basically, shalom ma'asim kesef avro liktos nevi'im. We're collecting money to get klafs for haftorahs, to get haftorah klafs, right? Kfar zman rabbi do was collecting for a long time. The gamani bein hamis asking bezev adayin chasutov, and right, I was involved with this, but we're still short a lot of money. Okay. Some guy showed up, Echa mi Tel Aviv, right? Elef Liros Avro Liknos Nevi'im for his shul. Right? That he promised 1,000 lirot, which I guess is a lot of money, to buy. You're saying it's not a lot of money?
Well, the lira
depends back then.
In the year Tufshin Beis Chaf. Tufshin Chaf Beis. I'm not sure. Seems like enough money that would have made a dent.
Maybe that
was okay. Kadir, she came in the Beis HaKnesses Shumisbal for his shul. And he was involved with some guy to sell it, and he was going back and forth. He never actually came up with it. And one of the Magid Yishirim in his shul told him, he says, it doesn't matter because he's going back and forth, he's not coming up with it. And besides that, the shul you daven in is a Hasidish shul, and there the minhag is not to use these klafs anyways, so nobody else really cares about this. Okay. So he's like, you know, Yoser Tov, the guy tells him, Yoser Tov Shiyitin HaKesev Over Taras Mishpacha. Better that you give the money towards Taras Mishpacha, presumably it sounds like towards the building or, you know, sustaining of a mikvah. It sounds like what he would do. The Hiskim was rough, and he agreed. He said, you know what, you're right. Forget this after business. I'm going to give the money to the mikvah. But it sounds like he never did. But he hadn't yet given it. But then he heard that Rav Chaim Kanievsky's shul in Bnei Brak actually wants these klafs. Oh, right. Shoshama Jemisak Nes Shalanu wrote to Liktos Nevi'im, wants to buy these Nevi'im, wrote to Lachserbo, Lotte to Kesavav her Nevi'im, wants to give the money for it. But Sheila, Shaila is, in Mutter Lachserbo, can he back out the Shema Mikre Nidro Harishon Betos Vashenicha? He says, maybe the first, maybe now there's three possibilities, right? All of them can make a claim for the money. The first shul, he says, but he claims maybe the neder that he made to the first shul, the whole thing was a mistake. And he realized that they wouldn't care about these haftorahs, klafs, so then he would never made the thing. Okay, maybe the second one should be chal. The indeed shalom is shemutter laksor im yachol latis over besak nezah shalanu, ke vishadayti midchil hayal besak nezah shalom. And if you say that maybe it's mutter to back out, can he then back out again? Give it to our shul, rather than give it to the mikvah. Or maybe if his shul wouldn't use it anyways, maybe he's not really backing out of the nether, he's just taking it out and giving it to us. So Rav Yashiv's answer is, first of all, he says at first glance that last option is probably the right option. He says because the guy who wants to, because apparently there's a din in the Magid of Avraham writes in Or HaChaim that if you give a Sefer Torah to a shul, the assumption is that it's still your Sefer Torah. Right. Now I thought that that's not the assumption, that's just like what people do. Meaning that the assumption is not that way, but people today donate their sort of keep their own Sefer Torah and give it to the school or shul for their use. And apparently, that's actually the assumption that the Magid Avraham makes, that when you give it without, and if the person moves, he can take the Sefer Torah with them. And he didn't need a contract drawn up originally. It sounds like that's the halacha. So he suggests at first glance, he says, so maybe that this guy, he dedicated the money to write Sifrei Haftorah, and then it's his. So he could decide to give it to a different shul rather than the one that he originally had in mind to give it to.
They belong to the shul, he could still take them out.
Right. Because they're not the shul. They don't belong to the shul. Yeah, that's his point. But then he also adds in that he quotes that Chassam Sofer, he quotes the Chassam Sofer that we had in Pesachei Tshuva, that you're not permitted to change it because you're not allowed to change the Be'er Meim L'Chaim and turn into a mikvah. He suggests that maybe you can't compare the period of time of the Chassam Sofer to our time. He says, because the time of Sam Sofer, again, this is an assumption, historical assumption, which I won't have to look up, but the time of Sam Sofer, if there would be no mikveh in town, so a woman would happen to like. You know, like no woman's not going to go to mikveh because they didn't have one accessible, as opposed to now, where even if one person would avoid going there, so then you should make sure to have it. However, he says maybe that's... it's not necessarily your chiv, and... at the end, he actually concludes, that his original kavanah was certainly to write these haftorah scrolls, and that they should be read. And therefore, who's going to be the one that should get it? Rav Yashav Paskins, his son-in-law, Rechaim. That's his ultimate conclusion at the end of this shiva. Okay, there's much more to talk about with Yisker here.
Selling cloth in order to make money for the...
Buying Klaffer. Uh-huh. He found that he wanted to sponsor Klaffer for the shul.
Okay.
But his shul, like...
didn't want him.
It sounds like was ambivalent about it. Uh-huh. And therefore no one was really the driving force to make sure that this got done.
Uh-huh.
So now he's got this class, so he can give it to the mikvah or he can give it to Rav Chaim's shul, and Rav Chaim was very interested in getting these class.
But then
so
if that's the money, he'll give it to the mikvah then.
No, but he's saying he wouldn't do that. He would actually use it for the class. That's what it originally was intended for. So that's what he says. He says at the end of the day, that's what you intended the money for. Your intention, A, also was not necessarily that they get read in your particular shul, but that they get read someplace. So therefore you could maintain your original intention, keep them on your own, and give them to Rav Chaim's shul, which is very interested in getting them.
My son-in-law shul is trying to acquire a class from now.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's supposed to read them also. So he started with Yishai, because that has the most tough tolerance.
Right, and it's the minute.
I don't know if they got it yet.
Yeah, it's not so simple. There's not a uniform... Some of the Sfarim are actually different than others, are printed differently in terms of where the breaks are and whatever. It's an interesting sugya, Haftorah Klafs. Actually, we might get up to it a little bit in a couple of months. Yeah. All right, let's stop here.